Good morning. We're in the Gemara. We're in the top of very top, actually the last three words of Daf Sadi Beis Amud Beis, and in the Ein Yakum Vor on page Ayin Hey, paragraph Nun Bet. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Dolim Tzadikim Yoterim Malchesheri. Rabbi Yochanan said, Tzadikim are greater than Malachei Hashares, the what we call angels who serve Hashem. Shlemar Anev Amar Ha'ana Chaze Gubrin Arba'a Sharyan Mahalchin Vigonura. Nebuchadnezzar said, behold, I see four men untied, walking in the fire. They had thrown Hanani, Mishael, Azariah into the fire, tied up. Now Nebuchadnezzar sees, and that's three people, and now he sees four people, and they're untied, and they're walking around in the fire. And there's no injury on them. And the appearance of the fourth one is like a bar Elohim, like a malach, like a son of Elohim, a malach. So the question that was asked, how did Nebuchadnezzar know what a malach looked like? Please turn in your Sfarim to the green bookmark. This is on Daf Tzadi He Amud Beis. Page Kuf Samach Bet in the Ein Yakum Vor. Mara there, when we'll get there later, is talking about when the king of Ashur, Sancheirav, invaded Eretz Yisrael, and miraculously his army was wiped out. So the Gemara says, ask, how many were left? And Gemara gives different opinions of how many survivors there were from his army. So the last opinion on page Kuf Samach Bet, two lines from the bottom, Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Chamisha, there were five survivors. Sancheirav u'shnei banav, Sancheirav and his two sons, Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzardan, Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan. Nebuzaradan was the later the general of Nebuchadnezzar. How do we know that they survived? Nebuzaradan Gemara. Nebuzaradan was a survivor of that miracle. That's a tradition. Nebuchadnezzar, Tichtiv, and how do we know Nebuchadnezzar? Because it says, Urvei Dirviya Dami Levar Elohim. Because he says in the same pasuk we just quoted that the appearance of the fourth one is like the a son of Elohim. V'ilav dechazye, if he had never seen a malach before, mina havayada. How did he know what a malach looked like? So the Gemara connects these two events and says he must have been there in the army of Sancheirav and seen a malach, the malach who wiped out the entire army of Sancheirav and survived to tell about it. And then the Gemara then derives that Sancheirav and his two sons survived. We'll leave that for when we get to Daf Tzadi Hei Amud Beis. So that is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara as to where Nebuchadnezzar saw a malach before, how he recognized a malach. There are other opinions in the Gemara about who the survivors were that do not necessarily mention Nebuchadnezzar, and perhaps that's why there are other explanations in Mefarshim as to how Nebuchadnezzar knew what a malach looked like. There's a perish on Sefer Daniel by someone known as Rabbi Tanchum HaYerushalmi, who lived in Eretz Yisrael and in Egypt from 1219 to 1291. He says, in his commentary on that pasuk in Daniel, Daniel Perek Gimel Pasuk Chaf Hei, that when Nebuchadnezzar said he looks like a malach, he meant he's shining and very bright and doesn't look like a regular human being. And it's just what we would assume. If we would run into a malach, we would probably guess that a malach would look very bright and shining. And he says that this is a miracle within the miracle, since Nebuchadnezzar is not the type of person who would ordinarily see malachim. It's a miracle that Hashem made him see a malach.
There are plenty of malachim in Tanakh that don't look like Malachim.
That's true. Hold that thought. So you're going to ask something different, which Rav Kapach, the translator from Arabic, Rav Tanchum Yerushalmi wrote in Arabic, and the translator of Kapach says, Yalam, Yalam saw Malach. What do you mean, Nebuchadnezzar is not the kind of person you'd expect to see a Malach? Lots of people who you weren't the kinds of people you'd expect to see Malachim saw Malachim, or maybe not lots, but definitely others. So he says, I don't really, I'm not 100% sure what he means by this, when he says you wouldn't expect Nebuchadnezzar to be the kind of person to see a Malach, and so it was a miracle, extra miracle. But in any event, Rav Tanchum Yerushalmi says that when he says he looked like a Malach, he means he was very bright and shining, the way you would, the way a person doesn't look, and the way you'd expect a Malach to look.
That depends on what Bilam actually was the rest of the time. The Machlokas.
No, it's just not. It's not Machlokas. He was Bilam. Call him Bilam HaRasha. That's what we call him. I mean, was he a Navi? Even if he was a Navi, there's no Machlokas that he was.
Yeah, but he was a regular Rasha. He was a Navi that channeled the wrong path. It doesn't take away from his ability beyond that high level.
That's true.
And we hold that against him.
Right. That's true. So you're saying so.
You mentioned there was quite a few people.
Right. But you know, Shimshon's parents, for example.
They didn't know they saw Malach.
That's the point.
They didn't realize it was Malach. But Nebuchadnezzar realizes it's a Malach. Nebuchadnezzar realizes it's a Malach. They say, I don't remember where I saw this, but somebody reliable who says that, you know, talk about so-and-so saw Eliyahu HaNavi. Everybody sees Eliyahu HaNavi. It's a big deal when you know you saw Eliyahu HaNavi. But everybody, at some point in his life, runs into Eliyahu HaNavi. I ran into him once working on the Eru. I think, but it's a different story. But
I,
if you
Shimshon, I seem to recall the mother knew it was a Malach, but the father did not.
That's possible, a possible interpretation. It could be. All right. For Shlomo Kluger in commentary on, or drashos, on Parashat Vayishlach, Sefer Chochmas HaTorah, page Nun Aleph, he says that it seems to me that when a tzaddik does mitzvos, he is greater than a malach, and therefore any malachim that appear to him have to dress up as people, because everybody wants to imitate a gadol. On the other hand, at night when a person's sleeping, or a person who's on a lower level even when he's awake, if he would see a malach, he would see him as a malach. And he gives a mashal. Says that we know that the malchuta derekia ke'ein malchuta da'ara, the heavenly, Hashem arranged the heavenly worlds, like the kingdom above, like the kingdom below. That's why Ramchal explains, that's why Derech Hashem, that's why we talk about Hashem having a Beis Din and so on. Hashem, so to speak, runs his kingdom the way a human king would run his kingdom. So a human king has many legions of soldiers with their own uniforms that make them recognizable as servants of the king. And now the great officer, when he's alone in his office or when he's at home, he can take off his uniform and wear whatever he wants to wear. But when he goes in front of the king, he has to put on his his uniform that says, I'm a servant of the king. And the same thing with a private. When he's in his barracks, he can walk around in his undershirt. But when he's, you know, when the officer shows up, he has to put on his uniform that shows that he's subservient. So same thing with malachim. When malachim are in front of a person, a tzaddik, as Gemara says, is greater than a malach, then the malachim have to dress up in the appropriate uniform, which is to look like a person. But when they're not, in front of a tzaddik, they can dress down and look like malachim. And he says that's why the malachim who came to Avram Avinu appeared as human beings, whereas when they came to Lot, it says that they they appeared as malachim. So that answers your question. Why sometimes people see malachim? It's actually what he's saying is, if you see a malach and you recognize him, it's a sign that you're a lowly person. Because if you were a tzaddik, the malach would have to disguise himself as a human being in your honor. So the opposite of what Rabbi Tanchum HaYerushalmi is saying. That,
good problem to have, either way.
Maybe. Perhaps. Maybe not. I don't know. Why did Hashem send Malachim, and we have a tradition that it specifically was Malach Gavriel, to save Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah? What purpose was served by Malach? Hashem could have just saved them himself. When we speak of Hashem, obviously we don't understand how Hashem does things exactly, or not even close to exactly, we just don't understand how Hashem does things. But when we speak of Hashem sending a Malach, we understand that it's some kind of more indirect relationship than when Hashem does something himself. We say that Barbanel explains, a question many Mefarshim ask, in Parsha 2 weeks ago, Hashem told Moshe, Hinei Anochi Shaleach Malach, I'm sending a Malach to lead you to Eretz Yisrael. In Parsha coming up 2 weeks from now, Hashem says, after the Chet Egel, I'm sending a Malach. And Moshe objects, says, Im ein panecha chim al taleinu mizeh. If you're not going with us, you're not leading us, then don't take us out of here. We'd rather just stay here. And Farshim asked why in Parsha Mishpati Moshe didn't object to a Malach. In Parsha Kitisa, Moshe objects to a Malach. So there are a number of different answers given. Barbanel, in his usual style, lists all the answers and tells you what's wrong with them, and then tells you his answer. And he says, simply, that in Chutz Laaretz, one cannot have a direct relationship with Hashem. In Parshat Mishpatim, Hashem was telling Moshe, I'm sending a Malach to lead you from here to Eretz Yisrael. Once you get to Eretz Yisrael, I will have a direct relationship with you. In Parshat Ki Tisa, after the Chet Ha'Egel, Hashem is saying, from now on, for all time, I will lead you through a Malach and have an indirect relationship with you. That was not acceptable to Moshe. When Hashem said, I'm going to lead you to Eretz Yisrael with a Malach, that was perfectly understandable. In Chutz Laaretz, we have an indirect relationship with Hashem, so a Malach leads us through the desert to Eretz Yisrael. However, in Eretz Yisrael, we have a direct relationship with Hashem. And when Hashem wanted to change that, Moshe argued against it successfully. So that's Barbanel's explanation and the idea, but the idea is that being led by a Malach or being saved by a Malach is more indirect than having a direct relationship with Hashem. So why did Hashem send a Malach here? So Rav Moshe David Vali, his commentary on Daniel, on this pasuk, Perek Yemo, pasuk Chafei, he says, "Bnei Hamelach Shadayne Yalech Mistakel." The king was walking around, watching what was going on. Nebuchadnezzar, "Vatema Shlo Halech VeGadel." His wonder is Gadel Maod. His wonder is growing very much. Harei Shamar Alehem Shemakoma Gimel Anshim Shushluchu Tochi Kivshan. Instead of the three people who were thrown into the furnace, he sees four people walking around as if they're going for a stroll in their house, who drew kol ekshrim shalem, and they were completely untied. They were not harmed at all by the fire, as if the furnace had turned into a room for hanging out and having pleasure. Menorah Baruch, which is in fact what happened, what the angel who was sent by Hashem, exactly what he accomplished. So that these tzaddikim should not be in pain even for a moment. And so that the great miracle will be publicized through them. V'zeu shamar, and this is what the pasuk says, that pasuk that our Gemara quotes, that he says the fourth one looks like a malach. V'malach kira'o bar Elohim. Why did he call the malach a son of Elohim? V'yoto mina elyonim, she'eshlam kirvat Elohim yoter mina tachtonim. He came from above, where there is more closeness to God than below. Now, we'll have to come back to that thought, which at first glance seems to contradict the idea that tzaddikim are greater than malachim, because he's saying malachim come from a place that's closer to Hashem than our world. So we'll come back to that. V'hu kinyan, v'yavo b'nei Elohim yitzev al Hashem. It's like in Eov, it says that the b'nei Elohim came to stand before Hashem, she'em ha-malachim, their first ha-malachim. V'ein safek, she'Hashem yitbarach ha-yechol atzil tzadikim mibli she'ishtamesh b'shum malach. Now, there's no question that Hashem could have saved Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah without using a malach. Hashem, with his own words, does whatever he wants. Why did he want to save Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah through a malach? And furthermore, the malach could have been invisible. Most of the time, malachim are invisible. Why did Hashem want Nebuchadnezzar to see the malach? Nebuchadnezzar recognized immediately that this was a malach because of his holy and awesome experience, appearance. So, that's another answer to how did Nebuchadnezzar recognize a malach, because Hashem wanted him to. And he had a holy and awesome appearance, the way you'd expect a malach to look. But why? What was the purpose of this event? So, Rav Moshe David Vali says, Da, ki atam hu lefi shamelech harasha hazeh amar b'tchila elat tzadikim elu. Earlier, a few psukim before, in Daniel, this evil king said to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Umanhu Allah yishezivinchun min yadi. Who is the God who will save you from me? Remember, he said, bow down to my idol, and if you don't, I'll throw you into the furnace. And who's the God who's going to save you? Ki asat esmo Elokan, Nebuchadnezzar considered himself to be divine. Uchailu lo haya Eloha acher, ki asat esmo Eloha. Nebuchadnezzar made himself a god. As if there was no other god who could overpower him, to save those who were sentenced to death. Hashem wanted Nebuchadnezzar to see with his own eyes that there is a god above. Not only Hashem could have saved Hanani, Mishael, Azariah on his own, even one of his servants. There's, if somebody would say, a king of a country would say, there's no army stronger than my army, and the other country sends, one private, or maybe even, maybe a captain, all by himself to destroy the first kingdom. All right, so that's what Hashem's saying. Not only I'm stronger than you, even one of my angels is stronger than you are. Hashem says, this is no big deal. Like, it's not worth my trouble to come down and save Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. I can send one of my angels to do it. It's not even a big deal for me. It's enough to give the job to one of his servants. And this will humble the evil king Nebuchadnezzar. Emet Melech Olam, and he'll recognize how great is the power of the true king, the true God who is king forever. And it worked, as the Psukim say in the continuation. Nebuchadnezzar says, after Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah are saved, he says to Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Avdohi, De'aloka, Eli, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the Babylonian names of Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, the servants of the lofty God, Huku v'etu, come out. And then he told his, and then he says, Brich, Elokaon, the Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, blessed is the God of Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, the Shalach Malachi, who sent his Malach, the Sheziv Lavdori, and saved his servants. And he goes on to praise Hashem with the words that the Gemara before mentioned that almost put Tehillim to shame. So it had its intended purpose that Hashem showed him, you're not so great. And this, you said, what God can save Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah? It doesn't even take a God. Any Malach can do it. Not even a big deal. Rav Eliyahu Lopian in Lev Eliyahu, he points out that the impact of this event was so great that even a few generations later, when Haman came to Achashverosh, he said, I want to kill the Jews. Achashverosh was afraid. And one of the things that Achashverosh refers back to is Nebuchadnezzar's experience with Hashem. You know, don't mess with the God of these people. And Haman has to tell them, the Gemara says that Haman didn't argue. Haman didn't say, no, God's not great. Haman understood that if he could cause the Jewish people to sin, then he would be able to defeat them. And that's why, and that's what he told Ahasuerus. He didn't deny. Nobody denied the greatness of Hashem, because it was clearly demonstrated by this event and by other events in Sefer Daniel, that Hashem is the God and that everyone has to fear him. So you have several answers of how did Nebuchadnezzar recognize a Malach, and why did Hashem use a Malach in the first place? Yes.
That you can't have a direct relationship with Hashem outside of Eretz Israel.
I don't know. I can't. Ordinarily don't. I don't know. Maybe is too strong. I'm not sure.
Does that fit in? You know, say happening. Hashem is close to all. Call upon him. So, that, according to that, this is only that only applies in Eretz Israel.
Well, the Torah was meant for Eretz Yisrael. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, we're just imitating. I mean, how is Pesach Chag HaAviv in Australia? It's Chag HaAviv because the Torah says Eretz Yisrael. Rishonim talk about this, that the mitzvos really are only done in Eretz Yisrael, and then everything we do in Chutz La'aretz is practice. So possibly that's... or maybe Hashem is close. If two people are close, does that mean they're together all the time? If they write each other letters, send each other postcards, emails, text messages, doesn't that make them close? Doesn't mean they're together. So maybe it means that Hashem is close to all who calls him. Hashem has a relationship, but it's still not as direct a relationship as in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know for sure, but I mean, those are all possibilities, I think.
If there was anyone listening from Australia, they're gone now.
Why? Well, on their way to Eretz Yisrael, so they could observe Chag Aviv. Halavai, we all should be. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tzadikim are greater than Malachim. What does that mean? In what way are Tzadikim greater than Malachim? The Sefer Beit Elokim, written by Rav Moshe ben Yosef Tirani Mabit, lived He's a contemporary of the Arizal and the author Shulchan Aruch in the golden age of Tzfat, where everywhere you went, you would trip over a tzaddik who was greater than a malach. In Al-Sheikh, the Rav Moshe Cordovero, Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, the author of L'Chadodi, of the poem L'Chadodi, as well as many Sfarim, from Abit, many, many other names that we're familiar with, lived in Tzfat in that time in the 1500s. And so he has two different explanations for how tzaddikim are greater, in what way tzaddikim are greater than malachim. And he says that just as Hashem can do miracles, so too tzaddikim have the power to do miracles. There's an expression, tzaddik gozer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekayem. A tzaddik makes a decree, Hashem fulfills it. That expression does not appear anywhere in Chazal. Interestingly, it's a later expression. No known Gemara or Medrash in which that expression appears. However, there is a pasuk, tzaddik moshel b'yirat Elokim. A tzaddik rules through his yira of God. And that is essentially the same idea. The tzaddik can, Chassidish rebbes are known for this, but it's not just Chassidish rebbes. Tzaddikim in all generations can bring about miracles. So that is, whereas malachim can't. Malachim are simply tools of Hashem to bring about the miracles that Hashem wants to bring about. So that is one meaning of, he says, that is one meaning of the Gemara's statement, Dolim Tzadikim Yoter Malachi Asherei. That is in Shar HaYisodot Perek Chaf Bet. Later, in Shar HaYisodot Perek Nun Bet, he says, quotes Gemara that lists several things, that seven things that were created before the world was created. And back way back in our introduction to Ein Yaakov, I mentioned that author Ein Yaakov writes in the introduction that he intends to divide Agadata into 12 topics. He never finished his work. He died, so he never got around to telling us how everything in Ein Yaakov fits into one of these 12 topics. However, seven of the 12 topics are the seven things that Hashem created before he created the world. One of those seven things is the Kisei HaKavod, Hashem's throne. Another one is the Torah. The Mabit explains in Shar Yisodot Perek Nun Bet that these things that are created before the world are things that it means these are things without which the world could not exist. They are very important principles that for which the world exists. So Torah we understand. But Kisei HaKavod, Hashem's throne, he says this was also a reason for the world to be created. And without the Kisei HaKavod, the world would be, creation would have been for nothing. It is an illusion, when we speak of Hashem's throne, it's an allusion to the reward that's awaiting the tzaddikim, for their souls, which the expression is that Hashem takes the souls from under his throne. Before a person is born, his soul is under Hashem's throne, whatever that means. That's the expression that Chazal used. And this is an allusion to reward for tzaddikim. Why? Ki mikavod kisei kvodo, ucholek kavod liyirav, v'sachar l'nafshatam v'gan eden v'olam haba, hanimshechim mehod v'adar kvod kiso. The reward in Gan Eden and Olam Haba is to share in the honor. Kisei kavod literally means the throne of honor. And Hashem shares his honor with tzaddikim. That is the reward for mitzvos. Kikar Briat Ha'adam Ba'olam, the primary reason why a person was created, L'shikne Ma'ala B'kavod L'nafsho B'kiyum HaTorah V'mitzvot, is to acquire honor for his soul through performing Torah and Mitzvos. B'yoto Murkav Karutz Mi'chomer B'tzura Asher Yisra Omed Li B'no L'sino. A person is made out of material stuff, and the Yetzer Hara is constantly standing on his right to lead him astray. And even so, he strengthens himself through the wisdom of his soul and his Yetzer Tov to busy himself with Torah to fulfill all the mitzvos. Ein safek. There's no question. For this, he deserves great reward. Asher yamol tachat ha'shemesh, for what he does in this world under the sun, so to speak. And he acquires reward his future world through his hard work. And he receives greater reward than the malachim. They have no yetzer hara. Which prevents them, they have no Yetzer Hara, which prevents them from achieving their intended purpose. And about this, Chazal said, Sadiqim are greater than Malachim, because Sadiqim have a Yetzer Hara, they overcome it, and they achieve ultimately greater closeness to Hashem than Malachim, who have no Yetzer Hara. And he says that this is the whole entire reason the world was created, and that's what it means, that the Kisei HaKavod was created before the world. In other words, it is the purpose of the world for Hashem to share his honor, so to speak, the honor of his throne, with the neshamos of tzaddikim, which came from under his throne in the first place. He says that's the idea of the Kisei HaKavod being created before the world.
Only tzaddikim souls came from under
throne. No, everybody, because everybody has the potential to be a tzaddik. Everybody has the potential to be a tzaddik. All neshamos. Now, there is a concept of neshamos coming from different levels, whatever. However, we understand that or don't understand that. But Chazal say that neshamos come from under Hashem's throne. Rav Kook, in a new sefer that I just received last Friday, which is perhaps Rav Kook's first sefer, long lost and just published. It's called Mitziut Katan, and he says that he explains, sort of related to this, the idea of a tzaddik being greater than a malach, meaning that the neshamos start higher up in heaven than the malachim start. Kabbalim speak about there being different worlds and different levels, and we'll see. The Torah Chaim, in his commentary in Sanhedrin, says a similar idea. I'll see that tomorrow. Rav Kook puts a little different spin on it. He says, this is my mashal, but it's the same idea. It takes more force to move a big stone than to move a little feather. Rav Kook says, because we are human, we're made out of the earth, and we have a Yetzer Hara, our neshamos have to come from a higher place in heaven than the malachim are. Because the way it takes a greater force to move a stone, it takes a holier force to move us, our bodies with our Yetzer Hara, than it takes to move the malachim, who don't have bodies and don't have a Yetzer Hara. And so that is another idea about tzaddikim being greater than malachim. Tzaddikim come from a, so to speak, higher place in heaven than malachim come from. Now, even though we say that malachim don't have a yetzer hara, Rav Chaim Palagi points out in a sefer called Nefesh Chaim. I mentioned this a few weeks ago, quoted this sefer, but I didn't have the sefer. I told you I had been in Lakewood and I had seen the sefer and not bought it. I learned my lesson. You see a sefer, buy it. So I went back to Lakewood and I bought it. Went for a wedding. I didn't know for that specifically. So he says in Mar, it's sefer in alphabetical order. It's like little paragraphs about different topics. So in letter Mem for Malachi Hasharet, paragraph Pei Tet, he points out that even though Malachim don't have a Yetzer Hara, we do find Malachim sometimes going astray. For example, the Malachim who destroyed Sodom, they were punished. Rashi in Chumash brings this. Malachim were punished because they said to Lot, we are destroying Sodom. They should have said, Hashem is destroying Sodom. And because of that mistake, they were punished. So even though they don't have a Yetzer Hara like we have, they do apparently have some ability to go astray and to be punished for it. And it brings... Sorry?
When they came down to earth, where we were up in the... they don't have free will, but when they come to...
It's possible. He brings, as well, I mentioned in Parshas Mishpatim, we read 2 weeks ago, so Hashem says, I'm sending a malach before you, and be extra careful, ki lo yisal apisheichem. Pasuk says, this malach will not forgive your sins. And the Medrash Tanchuma says, why will this malach not forgive your sins? Because he's from the category of malachim who don't sin. Rabbeinu Bachaye says on that, it seems that there are malachim who do sin. Since the Medrash says that malach that Hashem is sending to lead Bnei Yisrael through the desert is a malach who doesn't sin. So in some way, even though they don't have a Yetzer Hara as we have, and maybe as Yitzi says, when they come down to earth, they get touched by earthiness, and therefore they sin. However, he also brings, Rav Chaim Palagi also brings from Tana de Eliyahu, that in the future, Hashem is going to judge Shamayim Ba'aretz, the heavens and the earth, the sun and the moon, the Malachim, and even the Kisei HaKavod will be judged for not davening for the Jewish people. So, heaven, sun and the moon and the Kisei HaKavod didn't come down to earth, yet somehow they're criticized. They did something wrong. They did. So, apparently there is some way that even the spiritual heavenly bodies and even the spiritual heavenly bodies, like the Kisei HaKavod, which is not something physical, Hashem doesn't have a throne, somehow they can also be criticized for their actions or inactions. That is what the Rav Chaim Palagi says in Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh HaChaim, not Nefesh HaChaim, Nefesh HaChaim. Rav Shlomo Kluger, again, in his commentary on Parshat Vayishlach, foreshadows a bit what we will talk about tomorrow, which is that even though our Gemara says that tzaddikim are greater than malachim, there apparently is room to disagree with that. And Yaakov Avinu himself did not know that and he thought otherwise. And as we'll see, the Ibn Ezra and the Rambam, after, he might say, well, Yaakov Avinu, before Matan Torah, he learned that, but Ibn Ezra and the Rambam disagree, and we'll have to understand that. But Rav Shlomo Kluger, so we'll see the Ibn Ezra and the Rambam tomorrow. But Rav Shlomo Kluger says that Yaakov Avinu himself did not know that tzaddikim are greater than malachim. And he says that Yaakov is criticized for sending messengers who were malachim, sending messengers at all to Esav, because Esav was minding his own business. What did you bother him for? And question, so Shlomo Kluger asked, how was Yaakov supposed to know that Esav was minding his own business and that he shouldn't bother him? So he answers that Hashem said to Yaakov on his way, when Yaakov was going to Lavan, V'hineh anochi imach, I will be with you. Now, usually a person, particularly in Chutz Laaretz, is watched over by a malach, not by Hashem himself. Hashem said, I'm going to go to Lavan with you. Why? Because it says in Tehillim, Imo anochi v'tzara. When a person's in trouble, Hashem is with him. So you're in trouble. I will go with you. When Yaakov came back from Lavan, back to Yisrael, he saw malachim. He should have understood that the reason he was now seeing malachim is because he wasn't in trouble anymore. So Hashem was no longer watching over him directly, but rather was sending malachim to watch over him. Okay. And he should have understood, Esav's not going to bother me. Yaakov did not understand that. Yaakov thought that the reason I'm seeing malachim, and this is seemingly exactly the opposite of what the Abravanel quoted says. Yaakov said, I'm seeing malachim because I'm coming to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a holy place. It's full of malachim. Now, maybe it's not a direct contradiction. He's not saying the malachim were watching over him. He's saying, I saw the malachim. So Yaakov misunderstood why he was seeing malachim. He thought, I'm just seeing malachim because it's Eretz Yisrael. It's a holy place. And therefore, he did not realize that he was no longer in danger. And therefore, he made a mistake, and he reached out to Esau. So Hashem sent the malach to fight Yaakov so that Yaakov could defeat the malach. And because Yaakov thought that malachim are greater than tzaddikim, and Yaakov, it didn't occur to Yaakov that the malachim came to watch over him because Yaakov thought the malachim are greater than tzaddikim. So how could a malach watch over Yaakov? So Hashem wanted Yaakov to defeat the malach, and then Yaakov would see that tzaddikim are greater than malachim, and he would realize the malachim who were there came to watch over him. And since he still didn't get that message, he's criticized for not realizing that Esav wasn't interested in him anymore, was going to leave him alone. We will continue this topic in the session tomorrow.